From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
For the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
Eleven killer whales were incidentally caught in fishing gear in Alaska in 2023. 10 were brought up dead, one was seriously injured and counted against the allowable take for killer whales. Killer whales are managed as distinct stocks depending on where they live and how they make a living. The ranges of 3 killer whale stocks overlap in the areas where they interacted with fishing gear in Alaska. Eastern North Pacific Alaska resident killer whale stock, Gulf of Alaska, Aleutian Islands, and Bering Sea transient stock, and Eastern North Pacific offshore stock. Each has a different maximum number of animals that can be removed without harming the stock. They genetically sampled 8 of the 11 whales, and they were shown to be all from the Eastern North Pacific Alaska resident stock, which has an allowable yearly take of 19 whales per year. So 11 is still within allowable limits. There are probably good reasons that the Eastern North Pacific resident whales are overrepresented, like feeding habits. But it's notable to point out that the limit for the transient stock is less than 6 whales per year, while the limit for the Eastern North Pacific offshore stock is only 2.8 animals taken per year. 9 of the 11 dead killer whales were brought up by non-pelagic or bottom trawl gear targeting flatfish. Of the 9, 6 were killed by the fishing gear, and 1 was seriously injured but released alive. 2 were determined to be already dead when they were scooped up in the net. 1 of those 2 was determined to be dead from a vessel strike from a different vessel, and the other was a stinker, which had been dead for quite some time. The 10th killer whale caught was taken in a pollock net and also determined to be already dead when it was caught. The 11th killer whale killed was an outlier. It was entangled in the gear of a vessel engaged in the annual longline survey for halibut and sablefish conducted by the Alaska Fisheries Science Center. This is the first known killer whale fatality in the 30-year history of that survey. So, of the 11 killer whales caught, 3 were already dead for reasons other than contact with fishing gear. 7 were killed by bottom trawlers targeting flatfish, and 1 dead whale was tangled up in longline survey gear. Even though the take is within the allowed, quote, annual potential biological removal level, close quote, it is historically high. NOAA Fisheries is hoping to gain some perspective from its forthcoming technical memo entitled Killer Whale Entanglements in Alaska, which summarizes all reported killer whale entanglement cases in Alaska over the last 30 years.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
The Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation, or AFDF, has named a new CEO. Christy Clement currently serves as the chairperson for the Fognak Native Corporation Board of Directors. She was raised in the village of Port Lyons in the Kodiak Archipelago. Her grandmother, Peggy Dyson, was the voice of the North Pacific Fishing Fleet for decades, broadcasting the weather twice a day. She holds a BA in Organizational Management from Alaska Pacific University and an Executive MBA from the University of Washington. The Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation is a forward-looking organization. Among the things they do is to help guide Alaska fisheries to become officially certified as sustainable. Their Startup Accelerator program provides help to fledgling businesses in the emerging blue economy. They worked with the state to develop the Alaska Maritime Workforce Development Plan, which is a tool to help connect maritime businesses and the workers they will need in the future. They helped develop the Fishing Vessel Energy Analysis Tool, which vessels can use to guide their transition to more efficient operations. They are among the primary sponsors of the Alaska Seafood of Symphony, a yearly event that showcases innovations and value-added products. And they are among the original incubators of Alaska's emerging mariculture industry. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration tapped them to lead the Alaska Mariculture Initiative in 2014, which led the state to establish the Mariculture Task Force, which brought together a wide range of stakeholders who oversaw the production of a statewide comprehensive mariculture plan, the Alaska Mariculture Development Plan, as well as the 5-year action plan. All this background work was instrumental in winning a $49 million competitive grant from the federal government. The Alaska Mariculture Cluster, of which ADF is a member, will be handing out money for everything from research and planning to tools and equipment to help the pioneering new industry get a good start.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, providing twice-weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle.
The growing aquaculture industry is the cover story of the December issue of Alaska Economic Trends, which is put out by the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development. After a public comment period, Alaska has been declared a federal aquaculture opportunity area. That means the state is environmentally, socially, and economically able to support multiple commercial aquatic farming operations. That doesn't include classic pen-raised fish farms, which are strictly banned in Alaska, but hatcheries have been pumping out fry to support commercial fisheries since the early 1970s. And even salmon hatcheries have been controversial, with questions about competition with wild stocks. These concerns may be rekindled after recent studies, which show pink salmon compete not just with other salmon, but with just about every predator in the ocean. High numbers of humpies in the ocean have now been linked to lower numbers of everything from zooplankton to whales. But everyone seems to love mariculture. Farms raising shellfish and seaweed are seen as sustainable and even beneficial to the ecosystem. Oyster farms are the big dog for now in Alaska. In 2022, 28 oyster farms harvested 6.8 million oysters for sales to the public of $1.5 million. 1.9 million of these oysters were sold directly to an appreciative public, and 4.9 million were sold to other oyster farms. Only direct sales to the public count toward the $1.5 million market value. But seaweed farming is certainly the fastest growing section in Alaska mariculture. 10 kelp farms harvested just over 872,000 pounds of wet product in 2022 for sales of about $279,000. This might not sound like much, but it's way up from practically zero only as far back as 2016. In 2016, just 350 acres were permitted for production. Today, 1,360 acres of aquatic farms are permitted, which is still only about 2 square miles. But the difference between the 95 active operations today and the 10 who reported harvesting kelp in 2022 suggests that most operations are still ramping up.
statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
As seaweed farming operations ramp up, one of the biggest looming questions is processing capacity. In 2022, the Alaska Seafood Development Foundation commissioned McKinley Research to assess six coastal Alaska communities for suitability for kelp processing. They looked at six communities in four regions: the Kodiak Island region, including the city of Kodiak, the Aleutian Islands region, including the city of Unalaska, the Prince of Wales Island region, including Craig and Ketchikan, and the Prince William Sound region, including Valdez and Cordova. They then judged them by six criteria: seaweed supply, energy, water and sewer, taxes, labor, and shipping. Here's how they shook out. In terms of seaweed supply, Kodiak is by far the biggest producing region so far, but the Prince of Wales region has the most acreage in the permitting pipeline. Potential investors highly favor renewable energy. Three communities stood out as being nearly completely driven by renewables: Kodiak, Craig, and Ketchikan. Cordova and Valdez have, quote, substantial renewable capacity. Unalaska's energy is still diesel-generated, making it expensive and unpredictable. But if the geothermal resource under development there pans out, Unalaska could leapfrog ahead. Water and sewer rates varied wildly across the regions, with rates in Craig some seven times higher than those in Valdez. However, property taxes in Valdez are over three times higher than those in Craig. Kodiak has the highest number of resident processing workers that could potentially process kelp as well, whereas Prince William Sound depends almost entirely upon seasonal workers, and Craig has practically no pool of potential processing workers at all. Unalaska's already high-volume processing capacity could be an advantage in the future. Ketchikan had the lowest shipping costs with regular barge service to Puget Sound. Kodiak has the most robust service, though, with twice weekly service from Matson as well as barge service. In the end, Kodiak and Ketchikan got favorable ratings in all six categories, with Kodiak and Craig receiving very favorable ratings in three categories. There are currently 8 active seaweed farms in the state, 16 authorized but not active, and 23 in the permitting pipeline. These numbers fluctuate frequently as new farms are approved, applicants withdraw, and farms close. Alaska's Division of Natural Resources accepts new aquatic lease applications between January 1st and April 31st of every year.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.